Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Let's just give him a hand. He's worthy of that. Hallelujah. So worthy of it. There's none that can compare to him. So we are riding a beautiful wave. Last week, we celebrated the resurrection. Come on now. He resurrected for us, for you. And so he got up. And if we've been talking about the power, the glory, the anointing, not exactly in that order, because we first started out by talking about his glory and just the substance of who Yahweh is and what that means in our lives. And then we talked about his anointing. So it's only befitting that we start talking about his power. Can we talk about the power? There's nothing as powerful as was demonstrated when our Savior rose again. That was a demonstration of power. That was a demonstration of love. That was a demonstration of mercy and grace. Because we sure did not deserve it, but by his grace and his mercy and his love, he resurrected. He gave his only begotten son for you. And so, are we thankful for that? Come on. For us. So that was demonstration of power. So as we talk about his power, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. The first verse. And we're talking about what, every time we talk about something, I'm just not up here to give you a history lesson, although I can do that. I never was a really good student in history, though. That was anybody good history students? I wasn't. Give me some math or something. But history? But when you really get into history and find out how it relates to you, that's what started really getting me into, how does this relate to me? And when you read the word and find out how it relates to our lives, so that's what we're doing. When we open up these subjects, we're talking about the subject, but we're talking about how it relates to you personally. What does it mean in your life? And so 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, let's go to the first verse. And it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, now this is the Apostle Paul, or Shaul is his Hebrew name, speaking. And he says, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. So I wasn't the best speaker. I wasn't the most wise person in my own, right? And it says, declaring unto you the testimony of Yahweh. For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Yeshua Mashiach and him crucified. Basically, I didn't know nothing except for the fact that I knew Yeshua Mashiach and him what? Crucified. Know what he did for me personally. So he's saying it wasn't about all the stuff, and you know, I was all that. And see, that's how we are. We think we all that. Some of y'all sitting up in here, you got your church clothes on. You know, in your shiny shoes. Sisters, you got your face is beat. Okay, see, if you don't know what that means, let me educate you. Beat means you got your makeup on. You done took that pad and you done pounded it out. And you looking good. And so, and you know, and sometimes when you put on that face, don't you? You put on a whole new attitude. I mean, you looking good. But he's saying it's not about me and all that I think that I am, or all that you think that I am. He said, I don't know nothing but Yeshua Mashiach and him crucified. He died for me. And if I don't know nothing else, I know that he died for me. And you know what? If you don't know nothing else, that's all you need to know, that he died for you. He did something for you that you'll be able to live. So he's saying, so that's I'm coming to you with a pure heart. And so he said, I didn't determine to know anything about that. So the third verse, it says, and I was with you in weakness. I know what weakness is like. I know what fear is like. I know what trembling. Anybody been weak? Yeah. Anybody been in fear? Somebody says, no, he's giving me a pure power of love and a sound mind. Come on. That's true, but he didn't give you that. Anybody tremble before? So, you know, it's just, it's our frailty. But see, the beauty of that is that it doesn't stop with our frailty. It doesn't stop with that. And he says, so I understand what you've been through. And the fourth verse says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man. So I didn't come up to you. Yes, I am. I know that esoterically you have experienced in the great beyond the goodness and the beautification of. You know how folks say they just, oh, they got the words, they got the vocabulary, you know, and they want to beautify and make everything so. Listen, he was like, I ain't come to you with all that. I'm just coming to you. I didn't come to you with man's wisdom, and I'm just coming to you straight up. But in this, it's not about me, but I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So it's not about, tell yourself, it's not about me. I'm coming to you. Anytime I come to you, because Pastor Tom, he ain't about all this. You know, if I was in my mind and my regular self, I'd be at brunch somewhere right now. Yeah, I don't have no watch on, but 12:38, I'd be having brunch somewhere. Turn it up. But I turn my life over to Mashiach. All I know is that Yeshua, Mashiach, him crucified, died for me, and rose again. He did it for me. So I'm giving my life back to him. So that's why I'm here. Why are you here? You here to put on? Or are you here for the real deal? Are you really turning over your life to him? Or are you just shucking and jiving, as the apostle used to say? Any real believers out here that really want to serve him, that really, really want to do this? So therefore, we can't do it on our own. It's not about what we can do on our own, but it is about the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that's what we're talking about. Without his Spirit, we ain't got nothing. The same power that rose Mashiach up from the dead is the same power that is working in you. Tell your neighbor, it's working in you if you let it. So that's what I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you in his spirit and the demonstration of his power. And so fifth verse says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Yahweh. So that's what it means to you. That's what we're talking. You want to operate in the power. power of Yahweh. Everything that you do should be an operation of the what? Power of Yahweh. Tell yourself, I got the power. No, you ain't. You ain't saying it too convincing. You say, I got the power. Who got the power? And it's not like you saying it's my power. See, that's what's wrong with us, is that we get so caught up in ourselves, because you know you got a certain degree of power. I mean, there's some stuff that you can do. Like, Mark, how much you can bench press, bro? He said about 4+ bench press. Is that 3 plates or? That's 4 plates. This brother got some power. Anybody else can do 4 plates up in here? Chrissy raised his hand. Maybe 1 rep, bro, but he got about 10 reps on that. But there's some stuff you can do. But all the pushing in the world and does not compare to the power of Yahweh. Come on, somebody. But that's what we get caught up in, what we can do and what our abilities are. And this is the thing, y'all. When we're talking about the power and the glory and the anointing of Yahweh, we got to understand that it's all about him. It's all about what he can do. When the doctor gives you a diagnosis, it's not your power that can change it around. It's his power. Come on, somebody. I got to say this testimony because I saw him, the Spirit had me look at him, and we know his testimony. Jerron, how many bullets went through you? 6 bullets went into him. It wasn't about his ability. He wasn't bulletproof. But he served a God that could heal them. Come on now. And you sitting right here today and standing right here today, the doctors didn't even think you'd be able to do that. But it was the power of Yahweh that manifested him to be able to do it. Somebody talk about the power. It's not our power, it's his power. That's the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. When we understand that it's about what he can do. And you need a God that can do anything. You need a God that is not limited. Somebody say he's unlimited. Supernatural. That's when we're talking about the Spirit. See, I don't know about y'all, but I can't just do the natural. I need something more than the natural. Somebody say supernatural. Supernatural. Come on. Who wants to live in the supernatural? I want to live in the supernatural. I want to live in the supernatural. So that's the kind of God that we serve, that specializes in the supernatural. It's not about our ability. So now that we are talking about this, but what I need to do is I need to kind of go back. See, a lot of times we got this power at our disposal, but we don't appreciate it. Yeah. We don't. And through our history, we see in the Bible where there was so much power, and there was so much demonstration of power. I mean, I used to say to myself, man, if I had saw some of the stuff that they saw and experienced some, you know, I used to, every resurrection, they would play on TV the Ten Commandments. And, you know, I thought that Charlton Heston, at the time, I thought he was Moshe. Moses. And I still like watching it, because it's just one scene where they're going across the Red Sea. And he put that staff, and then those waves jumped up. It made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. And I've seen a lot of special effects, but every time I see that one, still, I just be like, whoa. Because if I had been there, it was just like me being there. If I had been there, and if I had saw the water part and those waves go up, I'd be like, hey, whatever you say, I'm going to do it, because I know you're powerful. I mean, wouldn't you have done the same thing? Have you if you saw him part the water for you and you walk across, how can you trip on a God that can show some power like that? And I'd be like, man, what was wrong with those people? I mean, like, can't they see that he is God? But they didn't. To operate in the power of Yahweh, maybe we need to see something. I'm going to have you turn to Haggai, but there's some things that Haggai. Maybe you haven't been there too often, but it's a couple of books before the end of the Old Testament. How do we get there? Well, you guys, y'all know the story. How do we get to Haggai? Because there's some things that we need to learn in those books. I don't have a whole lot of time to open it up, but you guys know the story. Let me give you just a little synopsis of what happened. So Genesis, the first chapter, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth, and he creates it. He creates Garden of Eden. He creates man and woman, Adam and Eve. And man and woman get caught up in, you know, their own lust and desires and ends up, you know, eating of the tree that Yahweh told them to leave alone. So then Adam and Eve get evicted out of the garden. And so they have to live on the earth. Okay, so man and women, they're living on the earth. And then again, you know, they get caught up in their own desires and lusts and pleasures. And so they start, you know, doing their own thing on the earth, right? And so Yahweh says, you know what? I'm tired of man. I'm going to just get rid of man altogether because, you know, they're tripping. And so I'm just going to wipe him out. And Noah says, no, don't do it. We're going to find somebody that, you know, some people that's worthy. And then y'all know the story. He builds the ark, and the only folks that he really found were, you know, his own family, right? And so they get saved through the flood, but Yahweh, you know, he ends up destroying the world by the flood. And so he says, okay, well, you know, I destroyed the world of flood. I want you guys to go ahead on and start this thing all up over again. But he was like, listen, if y'all trip again, it's not going to be by water. I'm going to burn this up next time. That's what he said, right? And so then, so through the descendants of Noah and around Genesis chapter 11, and here comes a man called Abram. And Yahweh, you know, calls Abram out from the people. And he says, listen, I'm going to give you a nation, and I'm going to give you a plan, and I'm going to give you a blessing, right? And so then he said, and then he changes his name. He's like, I'm going to use you to do something marvelous with the people, my people. And so the Yehudim or the Hebrew or the Jewish faith, it was built around Genesis 12, 1 through 3, right? And so then time goes on, and then what happens? Man starts getting into their own thing and starts drifting away from Yahweh and get caught up in their pleasures and all the stuff they wanted to do. They were more concerned about themselves. And so Yahweh would do some stuff to bring them back to their senses, but what did they do? They were still hell-bent on doing what they want to do. So then Abraham's family kind of drifts off. So then basically stuff happens, and then they end up in Egypt in slavery. So then Yahweh says, okay, well, you know, I'm trying to help you out of this situation because you have a tendency to drift away from me, but I'm going to show you my power and my glory again. So then he lifts up a man named Moshe, right? Moses. And so he takes them out of the land of Egypt, leads them. We talked about the Red Sea, leads them up, and then takes them into a situation where actually they have a pillar of fire by night to lead them. And then they have by daytime a cloud during the day to lead them. So Yahweh is showing them where to go, but sin, they still get caught up in their stuff. So then by the time Moshe goes to the mountain and gets the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, to bring back down to the mountain the Ten Commandments, what are the people doing? They caught up in all their mess again. They serving statues and gods and all this other stuff. And so then he was like, okay, here we go again. So you're tripping, so it's gonna take you 40 years. So what do? 40 years, they're what? In the wilderness, right? Because they keep on getting caught up in their head and their sled. So finally they get to the promised land by a man by the name of Joshua, or we call him Yehoshua. And Yahweh warns them. He was like, listen, y'all got a bad track record of getting sidetracked and all that. And so he says, listen, stop the being self-consumed, stop the wandering. But, you know, they listen for a period of time, but then what happens? You see the pattern? They start drifting off again. So then they go through a period that's called the Judges, and we see in the book of Judges where they keep on getting their head bumped and Yahweh keeps on trying to get them back in line again. So then they say, you know what? We'll get it together when you give us a king. We need a king. So then they say, okay, he gives them Saul is the king, right? And so Saul starts off as a good king, but then, you know, Saul starts tripping. And so he gets off the, you know, he had a king, and so he starts doing his thing. And so then Yahweh takes Saul out, and then he puts David in, and then David, you know, he's a good king. Yahweh said he's a man after his own heart, but David has some issues. Y'all know, you know, David did some stuff, right? I mean, some big time stuff, but Yahweh still blessed him, and he still, you know, because David at least made an effort to try to get his stuff together. So David rules, you know, and then David dies, and then his son, Solomon, takes over. And Solomon, you know, he's an all right king. He's very wise and all that, but then, you know, Solomon, you know, in the first chapter of Samuel, you know, it says Solomon loved God, but then by the time you get to the 11th chapter, Solomon says Solomon loved very different kind of foreign women. So somewhere between the first chapter of Samuel and the 11th chapter, you see that Solomon, he done went left. Okay, so now, so then all of that mess going on, they split the kingdom up into the north and the south. There's no good kings in the north, but there's a few good kings in the south. And as the story goes, they spend 70 years in exile in Babylon. So then Yahweh uses some pagan kings and stuff to try to get them back on course and to restore the nation. And finally they restore the nation and they send them back to their homeland. And this is where they are in their homeland. And Yahweh's like, I need you to do something. And so this is where we are from Genesis to Haggai. History. But do you see how that relates to us? We keep going left, but the God that you serve that is so loving and is so gracious and so merciful, he's still trying to help you get back on course again. And he's not just doing it now, but he's been doing it ever since the what? Beginning. And so that's where we came from. That is the history of mankind. But what is happening today? It's the same thing, man. We're wandering in these wildernesses for how many years? We're getting our head bumped for what? How many years? Same okie doke. You know, he's calling us to do something and we're still falling into our own mind and doing that. And you see, there's a history of that. Say, there's a history of that. We've seen it. So here we are in Haggai. And so now the people, they've been brought back to the land. And he's saying that was a big deal because now we got to start building, you know, building up the kingdom of God, Yahweh again. We need to start doing some stuff. And so here we go. Go to Haggai, the first chapter, the first verse. We have to understand what's going on so that we know where to go with this power. So the first verse says, in the second year of Darius the king, and in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of Yahweh by Haggai. And so, again, Haggai, his very existence is that of a prophet. And Yahweh is using prophets like Haggai to bring the voice of Yahweh, wake the people up, and tell the people, hey, this is what Yahweh is saying. You need to do this, to put in that urgency. So he's still using people to try to get the people what? Back on track again. And so here it says, came the word of Yahweh by Haggai, the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the king of Shealtiel. And Zerubbabel was a governor who Yahweh was using to try to build back up the temple and get things in place again. And so he said to them, saying, second verse, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, or Yahweh Sabaoth, saying, this people say, the time is not come the time that the Lord's house should be built. Haggai was saying, it is time for us to build the temple again, another place of worship so that we can do the things of Yahweh. So that we can worship, we can get our lives together, we can get on track again. Because they had come back. But instead of building his house, they were doing what? They done went through all that and still were concerned about themselves. So this is what they said to Haggai. They said, the time has not come. Go back to the second verse. The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Two things are being said. They're saying, it ain't time for that. And they're saying, ain't nobody got time for that. Did you hear what I'm saying? Basically, we ain't got no time to build a house for him. We are doing our own house. We got our own stuff to figure out. And see, they were living in tents and stuff, but check this out. Third verse says, then came the word of Yahweh by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? Which means you was living in tents, but now you living in houses. Sealed means you got a roof over it. You didn't have no roof before. You had tents, but now you think you special because now you actually got a hard roof. You don't remodel. You now you don't move. What's the song on the Jefferson says? Well, we're moving on up. That's what happened to them. They what? Moved on up to sealed houses. So you got your houses, you dwelling in that, and this house lying waste. I done took you through all that. I've kept on giving you second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. I can't tell you how many chances I've given you. And now that we're here and I've led you back from captivity, you still won't do nothing for me. You still won't look out for my house, a place where you can worship me, a place where I can pour out onto you and you can pour in. They said, no, our house is good enough. So he says, my house lie in waste. And so the fifth verse says, now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, consider your ways. What's going on here? We have the fact that a God has taken us through situations and we still won't give him the glory. We still won't acknowledge him. Guess what? We still in the days of Haggai. People are so caught up in what they want and what they want to do that they don't care about the house. And it's not just the house, but you don't want to serve. You don't want to do nothing. You come Sunday, but you don't do nothing. You come and get some word, and then later, I done checked in. It's almost like it's a time clock situation. You clock in on Sunday, and then you clock out, and I better end at 1 o'clock or 1:15 or something. Otherwise, you're going to clock yourself out. And then the next time, what? No OT. Night service? Afternoon service? I done already put in my time. But what happened? Something happened in your life. Here come a star. Oh, you in night service now. Mother, pray for me, mother. Mother, I got a situation. I need the intercessor. Not just you pray, but I need all of them. Call them all up. Because I got to call the hotline. Because I got a situation. But where was your situation? Where were you before your situation? We serve a God that if you would serve him, you wouldn't have no situations popping up. You'd have the need supplied. How are you going to operate in the power when you won't let the power operate in you? Connecting to Yahweh's power isn't a temporary thing. And it's almost like we plug in on Sunday and get a charge and then we unplug, hoping that the charge is going to last like a cell phone or something. And at least the battery get low by Wednesday if you could come and charge again, but you won't even come. I don't know what you're running on. You're constantly plugging in and plugging out, plugging in and plugging out. He's like, I need a people. My fire is ever burning. My source is ever burning. I need somebody to plug in and stay plugged in. And that was what we were doing on this fast last month. We was trying to stay plugged. Tell your neighbor, stay plugged in. That's what it's about. So there's some stuff that we the word can be overused a lot, but it's appropriate. Priorities. Where are your priorities as a believer? As one that confesses and professes to know Yahweh. See, some of y'all, you think you so special because you know his name. I know his name. I know his name. Well, where are you at half the time? I don't see you on Monday knowing his name. At prayer, I don't see you on Wednesday night Bible study shouting his name. But then, you know, Sunday, praise Yahweh. What happens is that we get a Haggai situation. Yeah, it's being a part of the building of the house. You know, we do our tithes and offerings, but we don't even do that right because we got to get a new coat and new pair of shoes. We got to have Pucci and Gucci. And give me some designers because I don't know anymore. Everything that I get is off the rack. And I won't even get it off the rack unless it's on sale. So you might find me at Marshall's or Ross or something. Any Marshall peaks with me? Yeah. But sometimes we get so caught up, we got to have a, you know, when Jordan come out with some shoes, I don't know about Jordan's shoes. I only know about Dan's shoes. I don't know about Jordan's. Jordan's $350 shoes. He don't even wear them. We got to have the latest and greatest sister. You sisters, you got to have Hawaiian silky hair. That's the good hair, isn't it? You know what? I bet not ask nobody up in here what the good hair is. But you know what? Them weeds be costing about $500 from what I hear. Unless you know how to sew it on yourself. But we can't even help build a house because don't get me started about nails, dear. How much does it cost to get them claws put on? $30. Somebody said $30. And how often do you have to do it? Every 2 weeks or whatever? What happened to Lee Presson? are so twisted that we are so caught. But all that stuff is stuff that we do what? For ourselves. What about the God that cleaned your life up? What about the God that took away your addiction? What about the God that completely put you up on a rock? What about the God that took the taste of alcohol out of your mouth? What about him? What about the God that healed you from cancer and all that? What about him? What are we doing to glorify him? And all he's saying is, listen, I need you to be a testimony of my power. See, I need you to be a living example of what I can do in folks' life. Day by day, we should be, come on. And I can't even talk no more, but I will say this. Fifth chapter, until we meet again next Sunday, same time. If you want to join me in some extracurricular activities, I'll be here for prayer tomorrow night at 7 o'clock p.m. I'll be here Wednesday for Bible study, extra credit at 7 o'clock p.m. All right? And then I'll be here for worship service to lift up praises to my God and give him glory, give him the fruit of my mouth at 11 o'clock a.m. next Sunday. I'll be here for Sunday school around that time. We got some awesome ministers. I said, Mr. Minister Daniel, they said you did an awesome Sunday school class. What I'm trying to say is the word is going on. There's opportunities for you to keep plugged in and stay plugged in. We even online, you can get streaming. Anytime you need the word, hey, guess what? In 2 weeks, we got an app coming out. You can get the word on your phone. iTunes and iPhone and that other one. Stay connected. But what I want to say, bring that verse back one more time. Fifth verse. Leave with this. Now, therefore, thus saith Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Bow your head. Father Yahweh, our desire is to be better. Better so that your glory, your power and your anointing can be demonstrated in our lives. Father, if we have not been diligent in the things of you, maybe for some of us it's been our time, or you know, we didn't spend the time in prayer, in the word. We didn't witness and tell others about how awesome you are and what you've done in our life and shared our testimony. Maybe we've been holding back our resources and our offerings and our tithes, just focused on our stuff, what we want to do, and not trying to build your house. Maybe we've been slack in serving you and utilizing the gifts that you have placed in us and the purpose that you've placed in us to work and help expand your kingdom. Whatever the things are that we have not done properly, Father, we ask right now, forgive us. We are considering our ways. We know the history from the very beginning of those that have served you and drifted away from you and had been given chance after chance after chance. Our desire is to break the cycle and to serve you the way you should be served, to worship you the way you deserve to be worshiped, to honor you the way you deserve to be honored. So minister to each and every one of us our ways as we leave this place, but not your presence. Speak to us. Show us where we can improve our ways. And we are careful to give you all the glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. Maybe I have to give this opportunity. Maybe there is someone that says, you know, I want to do better, I don't have the relationship established that I know I should. And the brief history that I heard, I know that making the wrong choice can lead to destruction. So today, I want to open up an invitation to you. And you say, listen, you know, I don't want to make the wrong choice. I want to make the right choice. I want to choose a relationship with the Savior. And you're saying, hey, I want to initiate that today, because tomorrow's not promised. And if that's you, we can get that relationship on track and started. All you have to do is raise your hand. Or you say, I want a relationship with the Father. Just raise your hand and I will pray for you that we get that on track. That's one. Hallelujah. That's two. He's provided everything that we need. And he wants a relationship with us. He longs for it. That's what we have seen time and time again. He wants to make a better life for his people. Now, if you rose your hand for that, the next group I'm asking for are the people that say, hey, listen, I've had a relationship, and just like some of those others, I drifted away. But I know he's been calling me back. I know that he's been moving in my life and calling me higher. I know he has. And if that's you, and if you kind of drifted away, he's giving you an opportunity to call you back. If you want to accept that opportunity, we call it restoration. We call it being restored back to your rightful place in him. So if you had a relationship and you drifted away, you want restoration, it's here for you today. You can have it. Just raise your hand and we'll pray for you for restoration. If you fall in that category, restoration, restoration. Hallelujah. Now, somebody said, you know, I was baptized, but I just never received the Holy Spirit, the power. Oh, we're going to be talking about the power. But he wants to even operate in you today to give you that power, that Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit, that effectual working power in your life. And you say, you know, I want the Holy Spirit today. If that's you, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Everybody keep your head bowed. We keep our head bowed for a couple reasons. Number one, we don't want anybody to be distracted that is being spoken to by Yahweh at this time, that's being led to make that move in their life. The second thing, that as believers, we're bowing our head because we're interceding. Hallelujah. We're praying that these relationships be established today. Hallelujah. Because tomorrow's not promised. So keep your head bowed. If you rose your hand for any of those reasons, I want you to make that declaration by coming up here and we're going to pray together. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. And so whatever it is that you need, you can get it today if you rose your hand right here. Just come up with me and we'll pray. Hallelujah. Thank you for my brother and my sister. You say no man.